the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Roman.
Well, Chef Edward Lee, I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And here we are back again in the RE/MAX Properties East Studios for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm your host, Rick Redding. I've been doing this for 322 consecutive weeks, and I have two more of the most interesting people in the Ville on the show this week. I'll tell you about those folks in just a minute. First, I want to remind you the show is very fortunately sponsored by our friends at the Eye Care Institute. The Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue in Butchertown. Call them at 502-589-1500, and they'll fit you right up with anything you need to have done with your eyes and vision, like I did a year ago. I had had LASIK surgery there, and it's been great. Don't need those glasses anymore, thanks to LASIK. Also, my good friends at Passport Health Plan helped to sponsor the show, and also my buddies down at Heiser Health. So thank you to all them. And I want to remind you, a big event coming up next Tuesday. It is the Breakfast of Champions. And if you were listening a couple weeks ago, we had Whitney Austin, who survived a mass shooting in Cincinnati 1 year ago. Actually, 1 year ago on September 6th. And she will be talking about her message to help end gun violence. And I think you should go. We'll for $20, you get a hot buffet breakfast at the University Club. It starts at 7:30 in the morning on September 10th. I hope you will be there. Some great networking there, too. Been doing the Breakfast of Champions a long, long time. It seems like, I think it was around 2003 that we started doing that. So speaking of 2003, there's a segue for you. In 2003 on Frankfort Avenue, a guy named John Johnson decided to open up a wine store. And he called it the Wine Rack, and it is still going strong. And I am going to talk to him about that and some changes in his industry in the second part of the show. John Johnson is going to be along in the second part of the show. I think you're really going to enjoy my conversation with him. Which took place right there in the front lobby of the Wine Rack. What a great little store, and great for a local business to be competing, you know, with all the big boys in the world. They are aware. I mean, it does when something like Total Wine comes into town, it does affect everybody else in town and takes some sales away. But the Wine Rack is going strong and survived it, and they've got a lot of great events going on over there. So anyway, enjoyed getting to talk to John Johnson today, and that's in the second part of the show. But first up, something very exciting. You probably don't know about the great recording studio we have right here in Louisville. It's on Lexington Road. It's called La La Land. Yes, La La Land. And it is run by a very sharp young woman, Anne Gauthier. And I went down there to talk to her at the suggestion of Gil Holland, who is part of a new ownership group of that place. And it is a very unique space. I am telling you, one of the joys of doing this show is getting to go to places like this that I would never normally go to. But this recording studio, it's massive, it's state of the art, and it's quirky too. They call it. There's a lot of lamps and a lot of rugs in there, as well as some really good equipment. And it's a legit thriving business. Thanks to and Anne runs the show there. She's a Canadian. Played around the country as a drummer in rock and roll bands and other types of bands, and she is she's now the one that books the talent and does the work down there. She's the head engineer at La La Land, right there on it's actually on Lexington Road, right before you turn it turns into Baxter on that little weird curve where you go under the railroad tracks. That's where it is. So anyway, I got to go in and hang out with Ann for a few minutes, and this
We're
is what resulted.
We're about to blow the cover conversation off of Rick Redding's secret. Hi, everybody. Bob Sekolar here. You know Rick is the force behind the city's longest-running and most interesting podcast, and he knows what makes Louisville a great place to live. He's plugged into the city. As a journalist, he's covered stories in every part of the city, so he knows neighborhoods. Now the secret. He's part of the most successful team in the city, the Sekolar team at RE/MAX Properties East. And he's putting his experience to work for buyers and sellers like you. The Sekolar team sells more homes than anyone else in the city. And now, Rick is at your disposal. Call him anytime, day or night, at 502-439-6391. 502-439-6391.
All right, today I am in one of the coolest rooms in the city. I am at La La Land with Ann Gauthier. Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for having me over here. This is such a cool environment. You know, the thing that strikes me first in this giant room, it's about the size of maybe a half basketball court. You bring in all the lamps?
I did not bring all the lamps, but someone counted them once, and I think there was like 78 lamps in this whole studio. So
wow.
Sometimes we call it La La Lamps.
There's a lot of lamps in here.
La La Lamps.
And there's a lot of musical instruments, too. I see a bunch of drums, a bunch of guitars.
Yeah.
This is really Louisville's only what? How do you describe it?
I think like how it was always thought of was, kind of like making this place super cozy, feel like a home, but also having all of, like, the awesome recording gear you would ever need to make a great record. So it's kind of like matching those two things, you know, but having also a lot of space, you know. As you can see, this tracking room is big, so that's really great for people to feel comfortable, and all the lamps, you know, do help people feel comfortable. And so that's kind of always like how, because sometimes studios, you know, if it's like a little home studio, it's like, you know, it does feel comfortable, but you might not have the space or all the gear that you'd want. And then if it's like, you know, more like a regular studio, then you would have all the gear, but then, you know, it might be feel like, you know, like clinical or something.
Yeah, like a doctor's office.
Yeah, like the leather couches. And, you know, it's like I always kind of baffle me why they do that, because it's like, well, you're getting rock and roll musicians in here, and then you're just like, let's make it look fancy. It's like, rock and roll musicians don't want to feel fancy. They just want to feel comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe one of the differences from this place, kind of matching those two worlds a little more, you know? Because if you want to make, I feel like if you want to make good records, you got to feel comfortable.
Okay.
You know?
Well, give me a little history of this place. I know it's been called La La Land for a little while, but there's an ownership change recently.
Yeah.
And you've been involved not that long, right?
Oh, well, I've been actually here for about 5 years already, so it's been a while. Yeah, and this place has been around for, I think, 7 years. You might have to count. We might have to look up the official number, but I think that's about it, yeah.
And recently you got a new ownership group.
Yeah, so we got new owners, and like a couple months ago, like 3-4 months ago. So it's still new and fresh, but so it's kind of the same new owners, but kind of the same vibe.
Yeah, well,
the
they made a few, they've been able to make a few improvements.
Yeah, yeah, so we got some AC in the tracking room, which has been really great for summertime. But yeah, I mean, really, it's just, I mean, I guess we're getting kind of like people who know about business involved, which is always good, you know, for business.
Yeah. Talking, part of the ownership is Gil Holland and Sonoblast Records. Puts out a lot of music, but you cater to any local musician or any musician, period, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess we've done some. I mean, Sonoblast is, you know, is different. It's like separate from this place. But we've done, all kinds of local things. We do rock, we do jazz, we do hip hop, we do kind of like really whoever wants to come and record, which makes my job really fun, because then I get to do all kinds. I like all kinds of music, so it's kind of great to do all kinds of whoever comes in, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I ought to just sit around here and wait till somebody comes in and starts playing.
Yeah, it does feel like someone's going to come in. We're like auditioning someone or something. They're going to set their drums up or something.
Yeah, it's cool. So let's drop some names here. You know, some of the now you book all the recording sessions here, and you're also adept at working the board, I guess,
right,
and mixing. Who are some of the bands some we might have heard of that have been through here?
So I mean, we do like, as I said, a lot of local and a national stuff, so it's kind of like varied, but I'd say, you know, we've had some of the My Morning Jacket folks in here do some work, and then we got Ray LaMontagne. We just did last year this guy Strana Vokes from Philly, but we've also done a lot of the local people that people might have heard of, you know, like we're talking about Quiet Hollers, and you know, like, I mean, all kinds of, like, whoever gets played on WFPK usually has recorded here, basically, you know?
So Quiet Hollers has been there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I went to their others today. It was nothing like this. I mean, I visited
every
them.
Every studio is, like, kind of, like, different, you know?
Yeah.
They all have their vibe. But
you could have put it in a closet over there where they were on Shelby Street, I think, but...
Yeah, there's all kinds. Yeah, I mean, that's a cool thing about the city, is all kinds of spaces. But yeah, we've done their first album, and we've done part of their last album. We've done like drums and strings and stuff like that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we, like, it's kind of hard to even, like, just, you know, I did like Bridge 19, this band, Electric Garden, that just recorded here. There's so many at this point. It's hard to...
Pardon me from being outside the music world, but, you know, I guess the thing when I was paying more attention is, like, every band wants to, you know, get a gig first, and then they want to record. And
right.
But when they record, what do they do? I mean, do a lot of market their own music?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I feel like a lot of people are just independent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, like, the music world is changing so much, you know? So a lot of people are independent, and they kind of, like, you know, crowdfund their album, you know, like, online, you know? I feel like it's just different now, you know? Before, you'd have your album funded by, like, independent labels, but that's a little more rare now.
Yeah.
So I feel like major labels are still, you know, putting money into bands and stuff, but I feel like independent bands, it's more like, yeah, you kind of get crowdfunding going, or you kind of save up money from shows to come and record.
Okay.
It's not completely different, but I feel like you just kind of do it differently now.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, maybe you make vinyls instead of making CDs because people buy vinyls again.
People still buy vinyls.
Oh, wow. Great. You know, I love vinyls. I like when I record records and they become records. You know, it's great.
I know. I guess I'm going to live to regret turning in all my old albums because they were just taking up space.
They're fine. It does. I mean, I
should have gotten rid of them.
I had a lot back in Montreal, and then when I moved here, I got rid of a lot of them. So now I'm like very, it's like only the best of. I only have one row, and that's it, because it's very heavy.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe, like, I had these milk crates full of albums that I took from apartment to house to everywhere I lived.
If you have movers, they don't like you when you have crates of vinyl. They're like, ugh.
Got all this and those books and all that stuff. You got to move.
But it sounds good. I love this. I mean, some records don't sound the same on any other platforms, you know.
Yeah.
Now, vinyl.
I want to ask you a little bit about your background, because you're a Canadian, number one. Welcome to America.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
Tell me about your journey to Louisville, Kentucky.
So, I mean, yeah, who would have thought I would end up here? That is very random. Yeah, people are always like, why are you here? They're all, like, surprised. And then my family back home always like, how's Nashville? I was like, no, it's not Nashville, you know.
It's music, but it's not Nashville.
It's different. So I was a musician for, you know, since I was 19. I've been playing drums and touring and doing all recording, and then I've also been, you know, recording myself and my bands and stuff since I was pretty young, you know, a little 4-track tape machine or whatever. So I've always kind of done this kind of recording, but, you know, just more like for fun. And then at some point, this one summer, I made two albums in Montreal where someone else recorded them, and I was like, you know what? I really like spending time in the studio. I want to do this, you know. So yeah. I started buying gear, and I had like a loft space that was actually was used for like rehearsal and like events, like art shows and stuff. So I was renting part of that, and it was actually perfectly set up for a studio. So I started using it as,
Now, yeah. Where was that?
In Montreal.
In Montreal.
So using it as a studio, and it's a great space, and then just racking up gear and stuff and doing Walmart. And then at some point, I was like, I want to learn about analog gear because that's, you know, my favorite records. It's always like, I love this record. And I was like, oh, I was done on all this cool analog gear or on tape or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to learn about that. And then I kind of found out about Kevin, what he was doing out here. And he was just starting this place. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, he's a drummer. His stuff sounds amazing. He uses analog tape. So we start kind of like being in touch. And he's very kind. And like, sometimes I would come through town, so I met him a couple times, and I would, you know, and at some point he wanted some help, and then just kind of all came together. And so I came down here, and
I think I'll stop in Louisville.
Stop in Louisville.
So you've been in Louisville how many, 5 years?
Four or five years. I think it's probably close to five at this point. Okay. Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I mean, I like that it's people are very kind and nice here and very friendly. That was like the first thing I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, you know. And then it's, I feel like if you do something cool here, people notice right away and they support it, which is really great too, you know. There's like an interest, there's an excitement, and it's like, I feel like I moved here and like people knew I was here. It was so weird, you know. Montreal's a little more, I mean, it's not a huge city, but it's a little more like, you know. You know,
yeah, you
like
can make
three.
A name for yourself here.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's just like it's a city supportive of the arts, and it's a right size that if you do have a cool project, it gets kind of supported pretty easily. You know, not easily, but it gets, you know, noticed. And
well, you know, this place is so cool, and you you basically run the show here. If a band wants to come in here and record, you make that happen.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You got a lot of space.
We got a lot of space, got a lot of gear, and it's fun times.
It looks like it. Well, anyway, it's called La La Land, and that's a great name. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. We'd have to ask the old owner, but I think his band recorded an album, and it was called La La Land around the same time, so it was probably like, oh.
It makes sense.
And then, he moved to La La Land. He moved to L.A., which was kind of like perfect, I guess.
I guess. Well, he started something good. You got it going on and continuing. And anything coming up in the near future? I mean, you must have bands in here all the time.
Yeah, so it's kind of like always, you know, sessions.
It's always something.
Always something, yeah. Something fun. Yeah, so yeah.
All right, well, if you don't know, audience, La La Land is at the corner of, well, it's kind of in that bend in the road in Lexington Road.
We actually try not to give the address. So
oh, yeah? You don't want drop-ins?
No, we can cut that part off of the audio.
Well, I don't see any big sign out front.
No,
so
yeah.
It's,
yeah, it's just like cause when you have sessions, you don't want people to drop in, maybe, because it's, you know, you're in your...
Yeah, I know. I want to drop in when the session's going on. I want to crash the party. But anyway, and it's been great meeting you. This is a fun thing.
Yeah, awesome meeting.
Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And this is Rick Redding back for you with the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks for tuning in and downloading the podcast, all that. I hear a lot of feedback, and a lot of people tell me they really enjoy the show. I heard a lot, I guess, last week because, you know, it was my birthday, turning 59 years old. Had a great time and got a lot of feedback on Facebook. It was great. But we talked about that last week. I want to remind you that I am a realtor here at on the Sekolar team here at RE/MAX Properties East. Any issues you have or if you're in the market for a new home, you want to sell the home you got, I'd be glad to help you. Just give me a call, 502-439-6391. That's my name is Rick Redding, RE/MAX Properties East. And it is a great time. I'm very busy with the real estate business, thankfully, and happy about that. I am worried, though. Next week, you won't believe this. I got summoned for jury duty. I know.
jury duty. And, you know, the big news is I get, I'm looking at my notice here. I get $12.50 for every day that I serve. $12.50. And then they have parentheses, $5 of that is considered actual pay for being on the jury. The rest is considered reimbursement for expenses. It says check with your employer for personnel policies regarding jury service. Right. Those of us who actually do work and don't work for somebody else, you know, I've just got to figure out how to make up the time. Hopefully, I did this about 5 years ago, and I never got on a jury. I don't expect I will this time. I'll go in there and, you know, when they ask the questions, I'll be honest with them, tell them I'm in the media and that I have very strong opinions on things. That usually gets you kicked off of the jury. But then you got to just sit down there and twiddle your thumbs. I'll take some, maybe a book or a computer or something down there. But I do have to fulfill my civic duty next week, I guess. God, I hope that didn't last very long. But I'll be there Monday morning, bright and early. I'll tell you all about it. All right, so that's one thing that's going on. I went to the UofL football game the other night. The Cards looked very impressive for about a half. You know, they got it to... It almost got to halftime tied. Notre Dame scored and went up 21-14 and then eventually pulled away when 35-18. 20-point spread, they won by 18. So I guess it's sort of a victory if you bet on Louisville. You took Louisville in the points, you won. You won your bet. So that was something. You know, the Cards looked better than a lot of us expected, without a doubt. Even though it wasn't great, they didn't win. They didn't come close to winning. Nobody ever thought they were going to win. But one interesting thing—I don't know if you saw this—what happened when the Notre Dame quarterback threw a ball out of bounds, and one of the ladybirds over there was not really paying attention, and boom, the ball hit her right on the nose. She's made basically. Some lemonade out of that move. She's gotten a lot of ink, a lot of press coverage, and it was interesting. She tweeted. Her name is Elizabeth Scott. She's from New Albany, and she's a member of the Ladybirds. And she tweeted at one point. My nose said, "I made that bitch famous." I don't know. Everybody has something to say about things like that happen. It's. I mean, I'm sorry she got hit on the nose. But she probably should have been paying attention, and that's probably the big thing that happened to the game. I don't know. I used to watch football a lot more. I did enjoy the Hard Knocks series where with the Oakland Raiders it just concluded, and so now we're into NFL season. That's ready to start, and I've got a little more interest in things. I know a little bit more about my team, the Raiders, and so I'm going to be following them. They open up with the Broncos. But NFL starts, and that's a big deal around here. Everybody's got their favorite team, and all that. But this show is about local news and big local news. We found out the answer to the question this week: how long does it take to paint a frickin' bridge? Okay, that the Second Street Bridge that has been. They started in early 2018. They started painting that thing. And this week, the final drape, the final coverage came off, and the big yellow bridge is complete. It's a nice paint job. I have to admit, it's the best job you can get for $28 million, which is what we spent on cleaning and painting that bridge. I do like it. I talked to a lot of people while I'm driving them around about the bridge. There's some debate about the color. But I think it looks pretty good. And here's the good news. No longer will the bridge be closed at 8 o'clock every night until the next morning. There will be four lanes. I think it's going to make a big difference in the traffic situation down there. Okay? Hey, I saw another story on Facebook. I keep a Rusty Satellite Show guest friends list so I can see what people are doing who are former guests. I've got some 400 people on that list. And in Portland, big news out of Portland, Danny Syme, one of my favorite guests, down there is now the co-director of the Portland Museum. And, you know, I talked to Danny back in, I can't remember when that was, but he's an artist, and he's done a lot of good work, and he's really adopted Portland as his home. And so good for him. Katie Delahanty, a friend of mine, pointed that out on Facebook, that they've made those changes, and we, you know, Portland Museum was one of the stories I wrote about when I was doing the work for Passport involving their headquarters that now doesn't look like it's going to happen. I saw at the Portland, at the site there at 18th and Broadway, all the cranes are gone, so it's a real mystery what's going to happen to that spot. However, they did have a groundbreaking for the $30 million track and field facility out there in the West End on 30th and Muhammad Ali, I think it was where it is. So that's going to be a great project. We talked about that a bit last week, and hope to see that happen. All right, so I've got another reason for you to skip watching local television stations. It's okay. There's about 60 days left until the governor's race, the governor's election. Some stories came out in the media today that both the Beshear campaign and the Bevin campaign have announced their plans to be on the air constantly from now until the election. That means every newscast you watch, every television program you watch, it's not just the campaigns themselves, but there's these other groups that want to have influence on the campaign. They are all advertising as well. So it's just going to be, you know, I guess some people like it. It's unbearable. I already have a hard time watching network TV and any program with commercials in it. So, you know, I do watch some football every once in a while, and you know, so I'm sure I'll have to put up with the political ads there. But they're about as irritating as these phone calls you get, you know, these unsolicited phone calls you get. Apparently my Social Security number is in danger of some sort. It's been hijacked or whatever. I keep getting this call that's happened. I think the worst thing that's happened is it got me on jury duty, right? Jury duty next week. So anyway, you know, Bevin's campaign is going to be all about how much he loves Trump, how much he hates abortion, and all that. And Beshear, I just hope he gets some momentum, comes up with something to distinguish himself, because I didn't think much of his dad and his campaign thus far. It's not differentiated. You know, the last time we did this, Jack Conway was the Democratic candidate, and he ran a horrible campaign and lost. And I fear that Beshear is following in those footsteps. We'll see. Maybe he can break out and become a candidate that people get behind, I suppose. All right. So one more reminder that the Breakfast of Champions is coming up on Tuesday morning, 7:30 a.m. at the University Club. It's $20. It's a full hot buffet breakfast. It's a really great deal. We only do this five times a year, so I hope you'll come and say hello to me and hear the important message that Whitney has that you heard right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Okay? All right, well, let's get ready for my next guest. I love talking to people that are entrepreneurs and who are in the spirits business. And John Johnson is really an interesting story. If you've ever been in the wine rack, you've probably met him. He's a very outgoing man, and he is very, very knowledgeable about wine and liquor and small business. And that's my favorite kind of people. So my good friend Aaron Jones suggested I go talk to John Johnson for the show and hear about the wine rack. If you've never been there, it's right there on Frankfort Avenue. I'm trying to think what it's close to. Oscar's Hardware is right next door, and it's just it's interesting what a small business has to do when you have these big giant corporations come in, like Total Wine and More came into town in 2015, and John told me that, you know, that did hurt his business a little bit. And the other bigger liquor stores, the Liquor Barns and all that, you know, they came out. I know they spent a lot of money advertising their deliveries when the law changed and you could deliver liquor to people's houses. You know, they spend a lot of money advertising that. Well, the Wine Rack has their own program. It's more subtle, and I think it's successful. John's going strong. He started the business in 2003, if you can believe it. So, you know, small business, local business, doing good in the city. If you ever get a chance to go by the Wine Rack, I suggest you do. They have some. They have this great event, a weekly wine tasting. It's free. I said, John, you mean it's free? Free? Don't you got to pay for the wine? He said, no, no. You come by, it's free. And you know, he just does it on the hope that not too many freeloaders will come in, and that the people who are interested in the wine will actually buy a bottle of wine after they go to the free tasting. So I don't know. We might have to do that in the very near future. But anyway, you'll hear all about that and more on this interview on the Rusty Satellite Show with John Johnson.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today I'm at a what I would call a Louisville landmark with John Johnson. We're at the Wine Rack on Frankfort Avenue. John, thanks for having me in.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for being here.
Boy, a lot of things are changing in your business. And you're a little guy. How do you keep up?
I work a lot. I don't sleep a whole lot. But, you know, we just try to, you know, to do what we've tried to do from the get-go, which is really give people service. And there's so much wine out there. That's one of the reasons I decided to get into the business, is there's just such a vast amount of different wines available that, you know, it's, as a little guy, you can kind of pick your spots, and you can maybe differentiate yourself based on what you carry to a degree. And then educating people, you know, as well through the tastings, or just day to day, you know, making recommendations and talking to people.
Here's my chicken and egg question.
Okay.
You got this great store and you got this great expertise as high as you can get as a sommelier, right?
Not quite.
Okay. But you're up there.
I'm a certified sommelier with 16 years experience.
Okay. So did you get the store first, or did you become the sommelier first?
I became a sommelier first. So in my prior life, I worked in finance in Houston for 10 years. And got burnt out on that, and left it to go to culinary school. Had no idea I was going to open a wine shop. Had no desire to open a wine shop, to be honest. And wanted to open a gourmet-to-go restaurant, and enrolled in a school in Denver. And the last part of it was in Europe, about 5 weeks in Italy and France. But they made me learn wine. I didn't really want to at first. And then after about a month of being into the program, I thought, you know what? This wine thing could be an interesting plan B.
Okay.
So I went ahead, completed that program. That was back in the end of it was back in the end of 2001, really, you know, got the certified accreditation, sommelier accreditation through the International Wine Guild, and moved back to Louisville from Houston a few months later. Looked around for several months and decided that a wine shop was a better idea. Then the restaurant, still love to cook, but you know, cook on Sunday nights, and that's pretty much it. It's about all I have time for. But definitely the wine education came before opening the store.
Yeah. Well, it's great for your customers because, you know, other places you go, it's all about knowledge, and you want to learn something about what you're drinking, right? And so, I guess that's what seems to inspire the loyalty, because you get a lot of loyal customers.
That, fortunately, thank God, yeah. But we, you know, pricing matters too. Convenience matters. You know, I had to put in a parking lot a while back when I got a new neighbor here on the street, which is a great new neighbor. But it all matters. You know, you try to help people, you try to get to their tastes, sorry.
That's all right.
It's paychecks calling me. Payroll.
That's
just
happens.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Got to pay people. But we try to, you know, always give, we try to get people to learn more about what they're drinking. And the more, you know, I feel like wine is one of those categories, one of those, it's one of those categories of products where it's, it can be exhausting. It can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. And when I was first getting into going, and it was sort of in the Food Network era when that was taking off, and I felt like I could sense that wine interest would be right behind that. And it's like we try to break it down and demystify it so people are not intimidated by it, and we try not to make it more daunting, but make it easier to understand. And by doing so, you get people, you know, they're willing to try new wines, they're willing to experiment, and they know more about what they're buying and what they're drinking, and I think you enjoy it more that way.
Sure, certainly. Well, I want to ask you about this, you know, the law that changed a while back. You are now able to make deliveries and take orders online.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
and that's new.
I thought I was going to fall over when I saw the email about that. But it is new. The law changed. There was a bill that went through back in, it was the third or fourth quarter 2017, and it makes it possible for any store that has a, you know, package wine and spirits license to deliver wines and spirits and beers, if you have that license too, which, you know, we do, to any wet county in the state of Kentucky. And so we concentrate just on the Louisville market, but, you know, there's some flexibility on how you get the product there. We do almost all of it ourselves, and you literally have to drive around with your license in your vehicle. We can ship, but only to certain, you know, only to
but
certain.
But you're not
counties.
Like you're not doing like pizza delivery. No. I can't call up and say, bring me a bottle because I'm too drunk to drive over.
Right?
There.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that into that segment of delivery for several reasons. One is I think it would be a nightmare to try to manage it, and number two, I'm not interested in taking a bottle of cab to somebody who's already had too much at 11 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? So we do. What we offer is within 48 hours of receiving an order, that we can get it there, and we communicate back and forth with the sender.
Okay.
You know, we'll do if it's a gift, let us know as our message. We'll get that on there, and we communicate with the receiver too. So if it's say a 94 degree day like we've had a lot of this summer, then we're not just like leaving it on your porch in the middle of the day and having it cook or having it grow legs and walk off either.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Well, I've been in here a number of different times, but I guess I never realized you actually have a patio out here, and one of the ways you inspire loyalty and inspire sampling is having events. Tell me about
it's
the
true.
Event program.
Yeah, the events have always been and still are the most effective marketing tool that we use. But it gets back to that premise of educating people and having fun with them while you're doing it. So you're not, you know, so they're not like feel like they're sitting in a classroom hearing all these fancy words they don't understand about wine. We put certain things on Facebook and Instagram, social media, and that kind of thing. But our event tastings, we send out an email to anybody that signs up for our email or for our tasting events. And they're free. You just have to RSVP because we get capped on space. But the way we manage them, it's a guided flight. We go around, we pour for you. Everybody's tasting the same thing at the same time, so that everybody's on the same page. And as either I'm walking you through that region that the wine's from, and that winery, that particular wine, briefly, or whether it's a guest winemaker, guest importer, whomever, you know, everybody's tasting the same thing at the same time. And it's good that way people can have sort of that shared experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of just hearing about it, or they're actually, you know, they're tasting it, they're trying it out for the first time as you're telling them about it. They last about an hour. We do two sessions usually in the same evening. And
so you got to pay for the flights, right? I mean, or
it's free.
Free.
It is
absolutely
free. The only thing that costs is if you decide you want to buy bottles and take them out of here with you, which we strongly encourage. But there's no pressure. You can taste for free.
Okay.
A lot of people will taste, have us walk them through the flight, and then, you know, they'll come back. They're usually on a weeknight, a Wednesday or Thursday, and come back and buy later. But there is no cost.
Man.
And no contract, no obligation, no out clause. You just come.
That's a really good deal.
Taste some wines, learn about them, and go on your merry way.
Anybody listening to this might think that wine's the only thing here, but you were telling me
even in the bourbon section, you've got a special program. You had a barrel, a personal barrel. Those sell quick.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we do a lot of wine is about 65% of our overall sales, okay. And spirits are about 25, and then beer is about 10. And okay. But spirits has grown dramatically. It used to be, you know, spirits might have been, yeah. You know, 5 to 10% back in the early days. But we've grown it along
is
with
that primarily bourbon.
Bourbon is the 800-pound gorilla, yeah. For sure. You know, in the spirits,
affect everyone,
in the spirits room. But we do a lot of vodka, gin, tequila, and other whiskeys too. But we do back in 2015. I started a more regimented barrel program where I'll pick four or five, okay. Sometimes six barrels a year, and go to the distillery, taste them right out of barrel, which is a lot of fun, and bring them in, and we send out a notice that we've got it, and boom, it's usually gone.
And they
know,
go.
In a couple of weeks, yeah.
Wow. And there's a little section, you got partnerships with some of the neighbors around here in terms of food.
We do. We've carried Blue Dog bread for 15 years, yeah. Out of the 16 years we've been around, and then lots of pasta, Kenny's cheese, Capriole, and then some, you know, and then we buy some things that are coming from, you know, Italy and France, yeah. Spain as well.
Well, talk about just for a second about the neighborhood. I mean, it's just a cool neighborhood. You get a lot of walkers. Right?
We do. Mm-hmm. And one reason I set up shop in this neighborhood back in 2003 was just because I loved it so much, having moved back from Houston, and I just fell, and you know, I'm from Louisville originally, but I've been gone for a long time, and came back, and I just really locked on to Crescent Hill, Clifton, Frankfort Avenue area, and there happened to be no other liquor store in business at that time on this road, so it's like, yeah, this is where I'm going to set up, and had, you know, start off, it was just me, no employees back then, but it's a great neighborhood. There's a lot of there are a lot of people who really want to support local businesses and like to buy local. We do have a lot of great restaurants around us,
right.
And other shops that draw people, and so that helps, you know, boost your visibility too. And we, you know, we work with some of those restaurants like Veronese in particular, and partner up with them on wine dinners that we are affiliated with in one way, shape, or another. So it's a great area. You know, it's a nice combination of business and residential.
All right. Well, it sounds like
they haven't run me off yet.
It sounds like the decision to go with wine way back two decades ago paid off.
Yeah. So far, you know, knock on wood, so far so good. We're at 16 and a half years, and hopefully are going to be here, you know, a whole lot longer.
All right, John. Well, it's been a real pleasure meeting you, and thanks for being on the show.
Nice to meet you too, Rick. Thanks for coming
All
by.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That is a wrap on show number 322 in this great series, The Rusty Satellite Show. It's my pleasure to bring it to you. I bring you the most interesting people in the Ville. My name's Rick Redding. I'm also a realtor right here in Louisville on the Sokoler team here at RE/MAX Properties East, where we have our great studio. Give me a call anytime you like to talk about things. 502-439-6391. I can get you set up with if you'd like to see a home that's on the market or talk about housing. That's what it's all about. All right. So I want to give a big thank you to John Johnson of the Wine Rack for talking with me this week, and to Ann Gauthier down at La La Land. Bet you didn't know about that place before you listen to this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you very much. My sponsors here are my friends at Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health. They're all great folks who've supported this show from the very beginning. Who knew back in 2013 I'd still be doing it every week now that it's 2019. So I'm always looking for a new guest. If you got any suggestions for the show, please send them on. You can send them to me down in care of the courthouse. I'll be doing jury duty next week. Hopefully, I don't think I'll get on an actual jury. It's very unlikely, and most of the time they let you out. And you can get your $12.50 and mosey on out of there. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Don't want to spend a whole lot of time down at the courthouse. It's an unpleasant place, but it's sort of an interesting place to see people walking around that have all sorts of problems with and the lawyers that chase them, all the money that changes hands down there. It's very interesting if you've never been down there. But anyway, That's what we're doing here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Unless they lock me up, I'll probably be back here doing show number 323 next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show. Tell your friends. You can find me at Ricky Redding on Twitter or on Facebook, just Rick Redding. Getting a lot of friend requests. Keep them coming. Thank you very much. And thanks for keeping up with what's going on with me. And enjoy your life in Louisville this week. This is the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.